Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 24th day of May, 2022. That's a very special day for your host and my wife. And it's also a day when so many things that have been common for so long are not only front and center, and they long ago quit being conspiracy theories, they're so in your face that the mainstream media is even starting to cover them. And that almost certainly means they think it's too late for you to do anything about it. Now, I had been planning on starting off today with Davos, the no longer hidden gathering of the WEF and their hangers-on, the world's egotistical fascists, but I saw this story out of the communist gun control mecca to the south and realized it was an even more apropos way to kick things off today, because this is precisely what Davos wants to do to the whole stinking world. Via Zero Hedge, Telemundo 52 reports that gunmen stormed a hotel in Mexico, killed nearly a dozen people, and injured five others on Monday night at a hotel massacre around 2200 local time at the Gala Hotel and Bar in Celaya, in the central Mexican state of Guanajuato. And you'll note they don't even try to push the bogus lone gunman narrative there. The reports say that two trucks rolled up to the hotel with 15 masked men, what else, who unleashed a barrage of bullets on unsuspecting guests and employees, firing more than 50 rounds, said the local TV news station. After they were gone, of course, law enforcement, sick, showed up to draw chalk marks around the bodies, two men and two women dead in the hotel, and five more women and one more man dead by the bar, after which one more woman died at a local hospital. Telemundo noted that there were three dismembered bodies, they seem to have been taken care of in advance of the raid, found in trash bags near the hotel earlier on Monday. And that one even had a note placed on the bodies from one of the local three-letter agencies, criminal gangs. But, says the coverage, no word on which local gangs, criminal cartels, or maybe I repeat myself here, folks, government officials may be responsible. One thing's for sure, and it's getting more obvious by the day, Mexico is a gun control mecca, kind of like Chicago and New York City, where the only people who are allowed to actually keep and bear arms are the criminal cartels, under one guise or another. Well, I guess if there's any good news in this, it's that their press is long past trying to convince any of the people there that this has anything to do with white supremacy or other similar BS. Much like the D.C. swamp, it would seem. They know who's got the power and got the guns and who doesn't. And that's what the chalk is for. Okay, well, with that on the table, let's talk about the other end of the spectrum, where those who have the power, and the guns, of course, but that goes without saying among that crowd, are gathering to consolidate it. And this seems a fitting way to begin on that score. Jack Posobiec, editor-in-chief at Human Events Magazine, renowned investigative journalist and commentator as well, traveled to Davos to try, at least, to cover the WEF's Summit of Globalist Elites, and then report back to his sites, including Human Events, Turning Point USA, and also The War Room with Steve Bannon. And Leo Holman's coverage informs us that the former Navy intelligence officer was detained and thoroughly searched. What else? We don't need no stinking warrant, along with his entire film crew, as they were trying to have dinner at a local restaurant right there in Globo Fascist Central. Maybe the constabulary knew right away that these people didn't belong because the tab wasn't even going to exceed five figures. But the point is, the law, or what now passes for it, doesn't apply in Davos, certainly not while the WEF summit is going on. The police officer asked to cite the law under which filming on a public street was illegal, simply replied, "It's not allowed here." And as the stories point out, you can see the arrogance in the video, which is, in fact, up online. After the detention, Posobiec told Steve Bannon, host of the War Room podcast on Monday evening, quote, "The party of Davos specifically targeted us." He said the WEF has their own private police force there, heavily armed with fully automatic weapons and very aggressive. One officer took the opportunity to rub the barrel of his rifle against Posobiec's shoulder before frisking him and his crew. They didn't, of course, at the time, tell Posobiec why he and the crew were being detained. Quote, "They told us they weren't sure if we were terrorists or murderers. I've got a message, though," said Posobiec, "for Klaus Schwab. You didn't win this round. I'm not stopping. I'm not going anywhere." But forced to turn off their cameras, they were frisked, berated, forced to delete files. And that, they noted, is just how you might expect to be treated in communist China or some other totalitarian regime. But it's the main voice for global governance in the world today. the WTF partnered with the police, partnering with corrupt media. By the way, they announced up front that they were partnering with CNN, the New York Times, and Chinese state-run media. What else? And how's that for all the usual suspects? For official coverage of the event, and that any real journalist, not part of that same club, who want to do true objective reporting about what really goes on in Davos, well, they have now been sent a message. And that seems to be the real story right up front. Leah Holman's coverage notes that he, like Posobiec, will never submit to these, quote, evil, satanic, totalitarian bullies. And he went on to note that the agenda for 2022 includes experience the future of cooperation und the global collaboration village. I guess you could add, or else, staying the course for nature action, future-proofing health systems, the net in net zero. How about this one? The reskilling revolution. Or is that risk killing? Anyway, it's all part of what they call the green transition. And let's not forget a special address by their hero, Volodymyr Zelensky, former stand-up comic and president of Ukraine. One of the most corrupt governments on planet Earth, but hey, the rest of them are right there in Davos too. The American contingent will include 25 politicians and Biden regime officials, including climate czar John Kerry and Secretary of Commerce, or what will replace it, Gina Raimondo, as well as a bunch of Congress critters, including 12 outright socialists and 10 rhinos, as well as 7 senators and 2 state governors. And as I perused it, folks, I gotta say it, not an honest name worth mentioning in the list. They did get to suffer through a lecture, though, from the World Economic Fuhrer himself, right up front. And chilling as it might be, it's certainly worth at least paying a bit of attention to as well. Because, folks, when it comes to the Fourth Reich, the global reset, all the things that are happening at Davos and have been happening as the New World Order is being put into place over the dead bodies of so many intended millions, if you still think they're not right out in the open now, take a listen to this. Perhaps one of the most chilling speeches given since maybe Adolf himself, circa 1935. This is Klaus Schwab, founder and chairman of the World Economic Forum, a.k.a. WTF, who addressed more than 2,500 business, political, and media elites at their annual summit in Davos, Switzerland, on Monday. The good international socialists now of the world, and they're just not hiding it anymore.
Let's also be clear. The future is not just happening. The future is built by us, by a powerful community as you here in this room.
The billionaires of the Fourth Reich.
We have the means to improve the states of the world. But two conditions are necessary. The first one is that we act all as stakeholders of larger communities.
They prefer the term stakeholder to comrade or even party member.
That we serve not our only self-interests, but we serve the community. That's what we call stakeholder responsibility.
And you will comply, or else?
And second, that we collaborate. And this is the reason why you find many opportunities here during the meeting to engage into very action and impact-oriented initiatives to make progress related to specific issues on the global agenda.
Heil the Fourth Reich! And I guess it's no wonder why this guy, probably more than anyone else in living memory, is rightfully described so often as the very caricature of a James Bond villain.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die!
But wait, if you thought that was chilling, just listen to this. According to J. Michael Evans, president of the Alibaba Group, a new socialist compliance platform that's already being tested in communist mainland Chinese cities, might be the wave of the future. And yes, if Davos has their way, and they intend to, it will be. As Zero Hedge puts it, hey, guess what's even more fun than eating bugs and owning nothing? Yeah, tracking your own personal carbon footprint. And when they get their way, you won't have any choice.
We're developing, through technology, an ability for consumers to measure their own carbon footprint. What does that mean? That's where are they traveling? How are they traveling? What are they eating? What are they consuming on the platform? So individual carbon footprint tracker. Stay tuned. We don't have it operational yet, but this is something that we're working on.
Und, what do you bet? We can put it in your mandatory vaccination, too. So let me pause here, back off from that German accent, even though it seems more appropriate by the day, and reiterate a personal observation. It was several decades ago now that your host first realized, you know what? That stuff in the book of Revelation about the mark of the beast. I could see how it was all coming together, even then, before the mid-1990s, technically, sociologically, and from a legal basis. And now, all these years later, we're literally on the cusp. All of the pieces are in place, and these satanic totalitarians have just simply quit trying to hide exactly where they're headed. Here next is a story that literally won't surprise anybody that understands how private law has replaced, if we ever had it anyway, what would have once been called the common law and the constitutional law, or the law of the land if you prefer. The point is, there's a reason why American peons that have traded their birthright for a cup of pottage, or, as Franklin put it, essential liberty for a little temporary security, they've got neither. Their once God-given rights, constitutionally protected, or so we thought, to keep and bear arms, to be free of illegal search and seizure, to assemble, to worship, to speak, petition the government for a redress of grievance. How's that for a January 6th laugher? Literally, all dead letters. And yet, there are other entities, not living entities, mind you, government creations as opposed to creations of God. They don't have a soul, but they get to call themselves by name, and they have rights that peons don't even dream of, as in up to including mass murder. And yet another major example of that is being rubbed in people's faces right now. Here's a piece from Zachary Stiber at the Epoch Times about how Pfizer has moved to dismiss a lawsuit stemming from the COVID-1984 so-called vaccine trials. Yeah, sure. Citing a prototype agreement. The court has been asked by Pfizer to throw out a lawsuit from a whistleblower who revealed problems with sites that tested the Zyklon B mRNA injection. Brooke Jackson, the whistleblower, alleged in a suit that was unsealed back in February, evidently it was finally okay for the peons to hear about it, that Pfizer and associated parties had violated clinical trial regulations as well as federal laws, including the False Claims Act. But you see, they're above the law, because in their motion to dismiss, Pfizer said the regulations don't apply to them or to their vaccine contract with the U.S. Department of Defense, because that agreement was executed under the department's so-called OTA, Other Transaction Authority, which gives the contract holders the ability to skirt a whole bunch of inconvenient rules and laws that typically apply to contracts and are intended, or at least so we're told, to protect people from being injured or killed by these literal corporate creations of another god. This means that Jackson's claim that Pfizer must still comply with the federal acquisition regulations, said Pfizer, is, quote, simply wrong. Unquote. Said Warner Mendenhall, a lawyer working on Jackson's case in a recent interview, Pfizer had, quote, clearly not followed federal procurement laws. And now, he added, they're saying, of course we didn't follow federal procurement laws. We didn't have to. This was just for a prototype. And he noted that the whistleblower may lose on this issue because the contract imposes none of the normal checks and balances on quality control or consumer protection that, quote, we fought for decades in this country. Catherine Artizzoni, counsel for Knowledge Ecology International, told the Epoch Times in an email that this means the government certified what she called, quote, an absurd fiction to use an OTA to grant the contract. All of which, she added, especially in context where it's inappropriate to do so, is undermining the rule of law and jeopardizing the public's interests. And here your host can't help but think, hey, that's kind of the point, isn't it? For example, she continued, the base agreement only mentions these regulations pertaining to the handling of classified information, but the statement of work doesn't actually mention any. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts picks up the story there, observing that Pfizer has affirmed that its agreement with Washington, under that so-called Other Transaction Authority, permits Pfizer to violate clinical trial regulations and federal laws that were intended to, again, so we're told, protect the public. In other words, he says, Pfizer has legal authority to commit fraud that kills people. And he goes on to say something your host has done a show about on this network for a whole decade at this point. As I've explained on many occasions, said Dr. Roberts, the U.S. government is privatized. Matter of fact, folks, it's a public-private partnership. You might have heard the term fascism here and elsewhere. It is run, though, says Roberts, by private interests whose representatives are found on various TLAs, three-letter agencies, like the SEC, FDA, EPA, and, of course, Federal Reserve, and other regulatory agencies. Matter of fact, all of them. As George Stigler made clear 60 years ago, the U.S. regulatory agencies are captured by the very industries they're supposed to regulate. And the power of private interests also comes from the fact that private interests, or public-private interests, we would now correctly say, are the financiers of political campaigns. Every elected official, whether it's House, Senate, President, and every state and local official knows that he or she, or nowadays it, is in office because of campaign contributions, most of which don't come from actual living people with a soul imbued into them by their real creator, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, which means that elected officials are responsible to their donors, especially those that may have a name but don't have a soul, not the voters. The power of private interest was reinforced by the Supreme Court decision that essentially gave unlimited ability to corporations to purchase governments to serve their interests. And that, says Dr. Roberts, is the real picture of today's United States. The U.S. is a country that can only now serve private interests, or at least public private interests, and never the actual public interest. Itself a hard interest to define anyway, in a country in which identity politics is pervasive. Dr. Robertson goes on to talk about the evil of multiculturalism, which he notes correctly, can never result in a united interest. It's all about suppressing people whose interests don't align with the almighty state, and those public when it suits them, but private most of the time because it also suits them, partners. The society that now exists in the USA, replacing the one that existed here for so long, is so split, he writes, that it no longer even constitutes a country because there is no unifying belief or principle. Nothing that was once a self-evident truth anymore that's even allowed to be taught in the public cesspools. The United States, says Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, has become a Tower of Babel, and the Americans are unaware of who brought this affliction upon them and the societal collapse that it's bringing. And here, folks, your host does have to add a qualifier. Some of us, in fact, are aware, and I'll suggest, have for a long time, that this entity, this alternative, the who, if you will, that brought this affliction upon them, does have a name. In Hebrew, it's Hasatan, which literally simply translates as the adversary. Adversary to what? Well, adversary to everything that was once called the creator of the universe, divine providence, God Almighty, Yahuwah, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, our Lord, the author of scripture, the creator, and the God who gave us life and gave us liberty. None of that is allowed anymore, and we're reaping the bitter fruit. It should be obvious, but I guess what Dr. Roberts is saying is, for most Americans, it's anything but. And as we see what's coming out of Davos, I'll suggest again that the consequences of that are literally life and death. I've been intending for several days now to try to do a piece on monkeypox, but ultimately I keep coming back to the idea, hey, there's nothing new here. It's not like we haven't seen this coming. It's not like we haven't seen major leftist cesspools like Philadelphia and New York City and Los Angeles already talking about how they're going to, ha, 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 aren't they just loving it, reinstitute their idiotic mask mandates. And of course, whatever the next poison poke is going to be, the monkeypox poke, the usual suspects, Bill Gates, America's own Dr. Mengele, and of course the Biden Fuhrer puppet, are already reading their lines from the teleprompter. The megabucks are being spent, the contracts are being let for products that are already almost certainly pre-developed. And the beauty of it all is, remember, it doesn't have to work, and we know they don't even have to test it. Oh, and guess what? I'm sure we'll have a PCR test that'll maybe at least show that you're positive for monkeypox, whether you really are or not. And if you die of anything, especially the poison poke, well, we can call that monkeypox too. Whether or not you actually had a skin rash or pox, because booga, 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 you can die without even showing any symptoms or even having been exposed to it. Or for that matter, having done anything except really stupid stuff like taking the poison poke that ends up getting you killed. I will mention this piece. It's funny, if nothing else. Whether it's true or not remains to be seen, but hey, at least they're greasing the skids. This comes from the Daily Mail. Monkeypox outbreak, they say, may have begun, sparked by sex at two different raves in Belgium and in Spain, according to a WHO expert who has warned booga 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 amidst a claimed cluster of cases that all may trace back to just one super spreader event. And ironically, folks, it does kind of sound like perversion central, but they're not going to use that terminology, I guarantee you. One is called the Grand Canarian Pride Festival at Maspalomas that's being investigated. The other, they have a reason to assume, was a monkeypox case at a fetish festival in Antwerp. And it's all about sexual transmission. Well, at least for now. Ultimately, you can guarantee that'll be forgotten once it becomes a politically correct matter of pride. Suitable for virtue signaling, all the while you wear some kind of a mask that'll identify you. Maybe you'll have to have a mask over your crotch. And I guess, folks, if anything, I've learned not even to joke about stuff like that, because somebody will hear it, and then they'll mandate it. One last observation, though, on this front. Isn't it funny that all of this monkeypox BS just happens, oh so conveniently, to have risen to the media's forefront exactly as the WHO is fixing to take totalitarian global control over all of the countries on planet Earth that actually don't have a Bill of Rights anymore? We've talked about it here. The Biden regime is pushing it behind the scenes right now at a vote which you'll probably hear about long after it's a fait accompli. It's, of course, unconstitutional as hell, complete violation of the United States Constitution and everything that would have counted as the rule of law not long ago. But hey, in this world, we know darn well they could care less about that. From there, folks, I guess we've got to go to this story, even if it's more than a bit distasteful, especially to your host. And I dug this one out from the Wayback Machine because, yeah, it does fit today, too, because it has to do with the senile communist Chinese marionette-in-chief, a.k.a. the Biden Fuhrer, who gave a long-awaited press conference yesterday, only the second time in his entire fake presidency that he's attempted to go it solo. And with this guy, you know that doesn't mean what it used to, either. And those who have been covering for him are shocked and amazed, even, that he managed to drag it out for nearly two pain-filled hours. About the only thing he actually said of any real consequence was the admission that he expects Russia will probably attempt to invade Ukraine, and pretty much any time now. But, he said, if they do, the economic costs will be extremely heavy. What do you bet he was talking about the United States, more so than Russia? Oh, quick aside here, this would almost be funny if it wasn't so tragic, given World War III. Says a headline from the Daily Mail in the UK, there are no minor incursions, and the furious Ukraine president schooled Biden after his blundering press conference where he greenlit a limited Russian invasion into Ukraine. Wait a minute, doesn't this guy know he's the puppet of the puppet? You got nothing to say about anything. And in a related story, the Daily Mail did say that Biden's first press conference in 78 days was, in fact, a, quote, total disaster, because he even claimed to have overperformed during his first year, despite rampant inflation and his tanking approval, as well as all the other debacles, like the surrender of $80-plus billion of American weaponry in Afghanistan to Taliban terrorists. Still, though, the best summary I saw of the whole ordeal came via Kevin Dalton, quoted in Zero Hedge, saying, it may have been rambling and incoherent at times, but boy was it long. But honestly, folks, the statement that I thought was the most Clintonian, and therefore about as close as he got to the truth, was this one, where early in his opening statement, the Biden Fuhrer said he wouldn't simply accept the status quo as a new normal. Quote, I'm not going to give up and accept things as they are now. Some people call it a new normal. I call it a job not yet finished. Unquote. And yeah, folks, there are still kids under the age of 5 yet to be poison poked. Inflation hasn't yet even hit double digits, officially anyway, but it will. There are still occasionally some foodstuffs on neighborhood grocery store shelves. The U.S. military has been weakened to the point of self-destruction, but hasn't yet been quite completely destroyed and undermined. Maybe we'll see that over the next few weeks. And obviously, there are more and more Americans waking up to the fact that he intends to kill them, and they haven't yet been completely disarmed, injected with Zyklon B, or sent to the concentration camps. So, yeah, it certainly is a job not yet finished. And that was January of this year, folks, 4 months ago this week. It's still a job not yet finished. But the communists continue to consolidate power and do exactly what we've known all this time they intended to do. And they're still doing it. And they're still, for the most part, getting away with it. But if there's any good news in here, it's that those who have eyes to see and ears to hear are finally making a bit of headway as well. As we've been praying, and as Scripture in fact promises, the truth is being revealed. But we've still got a long ways to go and a lot of work to do. Be thankful that we can, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.